have you done? Slaughtered for me on that cross, accursed in absence of wrong. My sin washed away in your blood, too much to make sense of it all. I know that your cross breaks my fall. The scandal of grace, you died in my place. Oh, my soul will live. Oh, to be like you. I give all I have just to know you. Jesus, there's no one beside you. Forever the hope of my heart. Yeah, where is your strength? Your power is as dead as my sin. The cross has taught me to live. And mercy my heart now sings. The day and its troubles shall come. I know that your strength is enough. The scandal of grace, you died in my place. Oh, my soul will. Oh, to be like, give all I have just to know. Jesus, there's no one beside. Forever the hope of my heart. Oh, to be like, give all I have just to know. Jesus, there's no one beside.
All I have just to know. Jesus, there's no
know. Jesus, there's no one beside. Forever the hope of my heart. Oh, to be alive, give all I have just to know. Jesus, there's no one beside you. Forever the hope of my heart.
Amen. Amen. Tonight, 6 p.m., we'll be having our Bible study and prayer here at the church. July 1st, we'll be having a deacons meeting at 7 p.m. And then July 14th, we'll be having a business meeting and potluck beginning at 6 p.m. And then, I guess there's anything else. I'll announce this for Mike. Y'all would like a license plate, different design or different color combination you can get here if you'd like one of these. They're $6. You can talk to Mike Disharoom, and he can help help you with that.
Okay, I changed my mind. I want to take that. Got it.
Great week we had. We had a total of 56 kids come. Unfortunately, the Corinne kids didn't join us, but so I was super happy with 56 of our kids and their friends. What a great week! Thank you for every part that you had in camp, whether it was here working or whether it was home praying. Thank you. It was an amazing week, and I think we were all blessed, including the children. So thank you very much.
Thank you. right. Will y'all pray with me? God, I pray, just thank you for the camp we were able to have and the lives we were able to touch. God, I pray for Brother Wade and the message he's going to bring us. God, I pray you just speak through him. God, I pray, watch him protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It's good that Osage, that you can count on at least one miracle happening a year here. And that's what happens in children's camp when adults take vacation time to come to work and youth take time out of their summer, you know, vacation to come and to invest in the lives of kids. And they just love on them all week long. And it's just an awesome spirit that's here. And it's a wonderful blessing to behold every year. So thanks for all of you who poured your hearts into that week. I heard nothing but good things, so awesome. Let's stand together. This is my story. This is my song. Praise my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praise my Savior all the day. Sing that with me. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation. You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old road to the same old lie. If you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. You feel lost, he's the way maker. You need freedom, saving, he's the prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's the chain breaker.
Oh.
Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Welcome to Osage. While the men are coming forward to take the offering, I'd like to give you a formal welcome and to let you know that there's a blue envelope in the pew in front of you to fill out if you're a first-time visitor here, to put in the offering plate as it comes by so we can get to know you better. We appreciate you doing that.
You've given us, we ask a blessing on them. We ask your blessing on what goes on through the day, and we thank you again that we're blessed so abundantly and live in a country so free to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Children's Church, Brother Wade.
I don't know if I heard you guys or if you guys didn't say anything, huh?
Good morning.
Ah, that's better. Now I can hear you. You know, I stopped by a tent revival the other day and found out that 100% of the people in attendance were unhappy when I took a poll. Anyway. We've got food later, I believe. So make sure if you didn't know about it and wasn't prepared, stay anyway. I'm sure we got plenty. So be here for that. And then Also, next Sunday night, we're going to start our Jonah series, small group, home church, whatever moniker we want to throw on it, Bible study. So if you're not already plugged into one of those and want to be, talk to us. Let's find out where you want to go or be here at the church at 6. There's a small group here as well. So I don't know if we've got the intro to that or not. I thought of that this morning. I had been thinking about it, and I wanted to play the intro and threw it at you guys. Do we have the intro on that, or were you able to find it? I'm sorry? Yeah, the intro trailer. So just to give you a sample of the lessons and. If we don't, it's not. We can move on if you guys don't have it. Okay.
One of the best known stories in all the Bible. The problem is people know this story because of a fish swallowing a man. And if we're not careful, our fascination with this fish can cause us to miss all that this book has to teach us about God. Could it be that much like Jonah, we are resistant to God's call for us to spread His word? And could it be that at the root of that resistance is actually a heart that is resistant to God Himself? What do we want more? A comfortable life in our nation, or the spread of the gospel in all nations? The story of Jonah is clearly showing us that God will draw the nations to know and worship Him.
All right, thank you guys. And that is led, the video is led by David Platt. He's the head of the International Mission Board. I believe that's what IMB stands for. So, anyway, so it'll be good. I've went through it all, and I think it's good. And we've had the first class and intro. And so, anyway, I encourage you all to get plugged into that. So, was there any other announcements that I needed to make before we? I feel like I'm forgetting one. All right. Well, if not, I do. This is 4th of July. I guess that, there was one other thing I wanted to say, kind of a public service announcement, if you will. I seen a thing that was supposed to be humorous the other day, and it said, hey, remember that this is the last weekend that some people will have all 10 fingers, and, you know, and because 4th of July is this week, right? And I thought, well, sadly, that is true, so... just remember to throw it before it blows up, or don't hold it when you light it, right? So I had to give up lighting fireworks some years ago. I don't really light them because I always got burnt, and I said I'm not going to do it anymore. And the first year that I didn't light any fireworks, I was sitting there, and one blew up, and it come down and burnt me even though I wasn't lighting it. So anyway... anyway, that's if there's fireworks going on, maybe don't stand around close to me, but especially if I'm lighting them. I do have a couple things that I want to mention here this morning, or historical quotes, if you will, because we are looking at 4th of July this week. And I don't know about y'all, but when I think of religious holidays, we've got Christmas, and we've got Easter, and we've got Thanksgiving, and I think of the 4th of July as a religious holiday as well. You guys may not, but I do, and when I think about why we have the 4th of July and how it came to be, I think of it as a religious holiday, and I think it's meant to be so. July the 18th, 1777, This was put in the Virginia Gazette. It says, "Thus may the 4th of July, that glorious and ever memorable day, be celebrated through America by the sons of freedom from age to age till time shall be no more. Amen and amen." On July the 3rd, 1776, in a letter to Abigail Adams from John Adams, he wrote, and I'm realizing that I should not have put this in italicized letters at this point. "I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance." By solemn acts, I don't know why I always get choked up on patriotic stuff. By solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty, it ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations. From one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward forevermore." And the ironic part about that is he was talking about July the 2nd, not July the 4th, because he thought July the 2nd was the historical date, but it is commemorated on July the 4th. But the principle remains the same. And, you know, and I always get choked up when I start talking about patriotic stuff because I think about the sacrifice that the Declaration of Independence, you know, was celebrated immediately in New York, and then they tore down the statue of King George at that time, and they turned it into bullets because they knew what was coming because of the document. He also leaves no doubt here, I don't believe, to the intent of what they were doing and why they were doing it, because he says it's solemn acts in devotion to God Almighty, right? They were producing here a religious document for us to celebrate our Christian-based nation as we go forward. And I also have this out of the Declaration of Independence. It says, "When the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station of to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should be that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." You know, and these are the words that started the experiment that we're continuing today in self-governance, which is what they called it, right? The experiment that they had in this republic that we still live in today. And I can't think of any place better to celebrate our freedoms that we have as a country than here today at church. And I can't think of any other better time, obviously, to celebrate them than the 4th of July. But I do think about the sacrifices that was made and the fact that the gentlemen that signed this document were committing treason when they did so. But they did it because of their convictions of what we were supposed to be as a nation, and we were supposed to be free, but not just for freedom's sake. So This morning I want to talk about freedom and what freedom means and what the Bible has to say about freedom. And, you know, like I said, we may not think about this as a religious holiday, but I believe that it is, and hopefully you guys will agree with me if you didn't already. So we're going to read Galatians 5:13 through 14, if everybody stand with me this morning. It says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the beautiful weather you've given us, Lord. We thank you for just the camp that went on here this week, and the lives that were touched and decisions made, Lord, and the ministry and the blessings that come from that. And we pray that you'd be with those that have been mentioned that on the prayer list that just need your healing hand or comfort at this time, Lord. And we just pray that you'd open our hearts and minds to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can be seated. You know, as Christians, we are called to be free, but not just for freedom's sake. We're called to be free so we don't have the restraints of the law holding us back from being able to serve each other and to serve God the way that we feel led to serve God. And we have that freedom, as he pointed out here, but it isn't just for freedom's sake that we have it. It's to be used not for us to indulge in ourselves. You know, I think sometimes we think about our freedoms that we have even in this country and our liberty, and we think about that freedom for us to pursue happiness, but it isn't necessarily just for the sake of being happy within ourselves and just that's the end-all be-all. You know, we're to have freedom so that we can do good and we can serve God and we can worship the way that we see fit. And that's what our liberties and our freedoms should be directed towards, and that it should be channeled in such a way that we're looking to further God's kingdom with that freedom, both scripturally and politically, if you will. You know, the other things that we have the freedom for, we have the freedom over, if you will, sin and death. And we know that we're not bound to look saying, hey, we're stuck in sin, we're enslaved to sin. We know that we're not stuck with death being the end of all things. And when I say death in this sense, you know, we're created to go on forever. Our soul will be forever, and I use the words specifically there. Our soul will be forever. I'm not going to say our soul will live forever, because it will either eternally live or eternally die. It will be eternally, we will have eternal life, or we'll be in eternal destruction. And we're created that we go on and it be eternal beings. You know, I heard a guy talking about that not very long ago, and I hadn't thought about it in this sense. But the reason death seems so foreign to us is because God didn't create us to die. He created us to be eternal, and we just don't accept that. But like our soul and our spirit doesn't accept death very well, because we weren't created. It's an unnatural thing for us to die, because when God created mankind, death and sin hadn't entered the world yet, right? So we were created to be eternal beings. But you know, we can still choose sin, though, unfortunately, and I think the Bible is pretty clear about that we can do it. But if we're in Christ, I think the Bible is also clear that we're not we're not to desire sinful things. We're to desire to be outside of sin or to be sinless. And we're no longer to desire sinful things. So when we look at our freedoms, you know, we've got freedom to serve God, not freedom to do whatever we want, not freedom to indulge our flesh, but freedom for our spirit to worship. You know, it's similar to the founding fathers throwing off the tyranny of King George. You know, we have to make a declaration personally that we're going to change, and we've got freedom over sin. We got freedom over the thing that Satan tries to tempt us with, and we need to have that declaration of ourselves, not only when we accept Christ, but we need to declare it for ourselves that we are going to strive. And I'm not saying that we're going to ever be perfect until we are perfect, amen? But we're to strive to be perfect. We're to strive to reach that that goal that we're not going to be able to reach until Christ has come back and we have our new bodies. But we're to want to throw that over. We're to get rid of the tyranny that sin is. But we realize that, you know, as sinners, that we need the salvation that only Christ can provide. And we have to repent of that and turn to Him in faith. But how do we live free as believers? Because once we've done that, how do we live free? And I think it's the same thing that we have in this country, that we have that liberty, but it doesn't mean, like I say, that we just do whatever we want. There's a quote that I'm going to use, and I can't ever say it without getting a certain movie in my head, so hopefully I won't distract you with that. But we have to realize that with great power comes great responsibility, right? And we have great power in the freedoms, not only in this country, but in the freedoms in Christ. Now, that's the greater power. But with that, we also have a great responsibility, because He gives us freedom from the law and from the details of that and legalism, if you will. But with that comes a great responsibility that we honor Him with everything that we do, that we focus on serving Him and serving His kingdom in our actions. And I think a lot of times, if you look in our culture, or if maybe we're honest with ourselves, I really want the freedom without the responsibility. I like the idea of sometimes that I can just do whatever I want without any consequence. But it's only an idea, right? Because whatever I do, there will be results that happen from that. There will be consequences, whether they be good consequences or if they're bad consequences. There will be an outcome to my actions. And as I have that freedom to serve Him, it needs to be going to honor Him as well. Galatians 5:14 and 15 says, well, we're going to go ahead and read all the way through here. It says, For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. I think we had that one already. Did I not put 14 up there? It may be mixed in with the next one. It says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh, and they are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. We live in the Spirit, so let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. You know, we, as I said, we have the pursuit of happiness in this country, but so few people are actually happy, it seems, because we look and we strive for happiness. But if you look and consider, or when I consider, if you will, the politics of my lifetime, there's not been a whole lot of happiness promoted. It's all been more bickering and going back and forth. And we don't see the fruits of the Spirit portraying in the nation as maybe they should with our freedoms. You know, we see even in our news media, they want to cause the dissent rather than, because that brings people to view more than if you have a civil conversation with someone. I remember a few years ago, I was traveling the country, and it was interesting to me that I was going to these places where no one was supposed to be getting along. And you could find people that have reasonable conversations, but if you turn on the TV, you never found a reasonable conversation. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, that is not the fruit of the Spirit, is to be unkind to people and ungentle with people. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. We should be finding ways to unify each other, not bring each other apart, not only, you know, in our culture, but definitely in Christendom, if you will. But that doesn't get the clicks that that dissension gets. You know, you can read a headline, and I don't mean to stray too far, but if you read a headline that'll be something negative, it gets a lot more clicks, even if it has nothing to do with the article. It gets a lot more clicks than a positive headline. We need to focus on not given in to that fleshly desire, if you will. But we have, like I say, the freedom that we serve Christ and others without the fear of breaking the law. But some great examples of this is when Christ defied the religious leaders and healed people on the Sabbath. You know, when he would heal someone on the Sabbath and they would get upset because he was breaking the law, that's what our freedom is for, is so that we're not bound to those legalistic things, so that we can do the good, right? And he was healing people and he was associating with the people that he wasn't supposed to associate with, right? He was going into the houses of sinners and dining with sinners so that he could witness to them, and he wasn't bound by their legalism. You know, love, peace, joy, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Those are all the fruits, if you will, of the Spirit. Notice that as we went through that, I never seen anything about emotions. I never seen anything about anything that was emotional. You know, the self-control that we're supposed to have is to not give in to our emotional desires, right? We're not to be emotional about things so much. We're to be reasonable about things. We're to have temperance and control, and not just get emotional and overreact about things that happen to us and around us. You know, the cost of freedom isn't free, to borrow another well-known quote. There's a lot of sacrifice that went into our freedom as a nation, a lot of sacrifice. 1.4 million soldiers at this point have died and gave their lives for us to have freedoms in various wars and conflicts since 1776 when they signed the document we read part of earlier. You know, the price of freedom in this country, and really in any country that's ever had freedom, the price of freedom is paid in blood. And as a believer, we realize that the price of our freedom was also paid in blood. You know, our flag has the stars to represent the states. We have the white pieces to show the purity, but we also have the red to remember that sacrifice. And as a believer, we should be remembering that sacrifice the same way, even if we don't have the red stripes on our Christian flag. We need to remember that the price of our freedom was paid by the blood of Christ whenever he came to pay the price that we of our sin wage, or if you will, on the cross. But he paid that price once and for all on the cross so we didn't have to. So I'm going to ask you this morning, have you accepted that? Have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? I know it's difficult sometimes to think about someone else having to pay a price so great for something that we've done. You know, maybe that's why I get so choked up when I get thinking about the things that our soldiers have done and the price that some of those men and women have paid so that we can grill a hot dog or a burger and shoot off some fireworks. You know, but they paid that price so we could do exactly that. You know, sometimes it seems disrespectful when we don't remember them and we think, well, but that is exactly why they paid that price, is so that we could have the freedom. And Christ come down and paid the price that he did so that we could have the freedom also to serve the way that we see that we need to serve and the way that we feel the Holy Spirit is convicting us. So I'm going to ask you this morning as I close and we have a song invitation, you know, do you have real freedom? You know, we have, like I've talked about, we have political freedom in this country, but do you have real freedom? Real freedom only comes when we can unentangle ourselves from sin and from the problems that this life gives us because we have freedom in Christ, so that we can have actual joy and not just the pursuit of happiness, but we can have true joy knowing where we're going to spend eternity with him. And if you're here this morning, you can't say that you know that if you died this morning that you would be with him for eternity. I'm going to ask you to come up, and we're going to pray about that this morning. What are we singing?
320.
If everybody stand, please.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see.
back tonight at 6 for Bible study, so join us for that. We'll be here at the church, just one Bible study tonight. So remember that at 6, and remember we have food afterwards, so stay for that. And with that, Richard, would you just dismiss us in a word of prayer and go ahead and bless the food there. So.